Welcome to today's episode of Decentralized TV. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And as always, joined by my co-host today, Todd Pittner, who will come in just a second. And as you know, here on Decentralized TV, we focus on bringing you solutions for decentralized living, which means that you are in custody of your assets and you're not subject to the centralized controls or limitations or tyrannical, you know, authoritarian banking system or what have you. And so we have a very special guest today, someone who you probably have read his books. It's the author of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series, Mr. Robert Kiyosaki. And I'm a great fan of his. He's a modern day legend in the world of finance and helpful advice. And I just want to welcome both of you to the show, Robert Kiyosaki and Todd Pittner, my co-host. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Hola.
Hi. Great to have you both with me. And may I call you Robert for the rest of the show? Is that okay? Okay. Your information has helped many tens of millions of people around the world handle their assets in a way that makes sense. And yet, Todd and I both watch your videos and your interviews and your warnings and about BRICS and de-dollarization and what's happening with the fiat currency. You are very concerned about where things are headed right now. Could you give us an overview of where you think we stand at the moment?
Yeah. Well, as most people know, is in 71, President Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. And that meant the money became fake money or fiat currency. And fiat means by government decree. And so far throughout history, no fiat currency has ever survived. In fact, fiat currency has brought down the Chinese Empire, the Roman Empire, and the Greek Empire. So in 1971, at the time I was flying in Vietnam, I flew one of these in Vietnam, a helicopter gunship.
Wow.
And my rich dad sent me a letter by snail mail saying, watch out, Nixon just took the dollar off the gold standard. He said, the world's going to change. I had no idea what he was talking about. But we've all seen it since then, is that anytime the government gets in trouble, they just print more money.
That's right.
And so just recently, not trying to blame Biden, but he's not my favorite person. You know, Trump and I are really good friends. We wrote two books together. It's one of our books together here.
Yeah.
And we're capitalists. And, you know, Biden's a communist.
So, yeah. No argument with that here. No. That's for sure.
So anyway, is that... just recently, they took they raised the debt ceiling again. And I was just on Fox with Charles Payne. So Charles Payne wanted to know what that meant. And the reason he was concerned is because our credit rating in the United States via Fitch Rating Services downgraded the U.S. debt from AAA to AA+. And the average American has no idea what that means.
That's right.
Because we have no financial education in our schools. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern, and that's why I write and I speak. And then in the 2 months since, you know, Biden or Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, took the dollar off, took the ceiling cap off of our debt, is our debt increased by $1.8 trillion
Amazing.
In 2 months. And the last time, it took us 209 months after Nixon to get to $1.8 trillion in debt, and now it's being done every 2 months.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable.
No, it's a hyperbolic blowout.
Yeah, we're in a collision course for disaster, or we become the Weimar Republic that brought Hitler to power, or the Chinese government when they started printing the first, they printed the first paper money, Chinese did, and the Greeks and the Romans. So we're on a collision course for disaster. And that's why I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad back in, when was it, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Rich Dad, that's still number one in the world.
Absolutely. And I want to give out your website too, and I'll bring you in, Todd, but richdad.com is the website, folks. If you want to learn about Robert Kiyosaki's information and books, if you're not already familiar with them, and here's a Financial Freedom Summit and some other information, you can check it out at richdad.com. Of course, we've got quite a few questions for you, Mr. Kiyosaki, but Todd, you want to chime in here? Because I know you're a fan of Robert's work as well.
Yes, I am, Robert. I remember lots of hours driving where I listened to your audiobooks all the time. So it's a pleasure to meet you in person. And, you know, a lot of people, though, they take a look at the stock market right now and they're like, you know, it's strong. There's nothing to worry about, nothing to see here. So my question to you, sir, is what is the consequence of Washington just ripping the ceiling off the debt, sir?
Well, like I said, it allowed the U.S. government, every time we got into financial trouble, we just print more money. And if you and I did that, we go to jail. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy named Bernie Madoff did that, and a bunch of characters have tried to do it.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when you can't print any further, and we're pretty near that point right now. So again,
and how does that impact then inflation? Just normal people who may not be really attuned or interested in finance. I mean, we're feeling it at the grocery store, aren't we?
Right. And again, you know, like Trump is my friend and Biden's a Marxist, but mm-hmm. it's not that what they say or do, it's what do they do. So the first act that Joe Biden did, and you guys are from Texas or near Austin, first thing that Joe Biden did was he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline, which is a pipeline running from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico.
That's right.
And the moment he did that, I sell oil out of Texas and Louisiana and North Dakota. I don't buy oil stocks. I don't have Chevron or BP and all that stuff. I own the real oil. And when Trump was president, I was selling oil for $30 a barrel. The moment Biden cut that Keystone XL pipeline, that was in 2020, you know, just before the riots on January 6th or something like that. Mm-hmm. The price of oil went from $30 a barrel to $130 a barrel. And immediately I knew what Biden was doing. His plans are to crush the poor and middle class so that we're on the verge of revolution. And so when I sit in my car and I see a mother with kids and, you know, her SUV and she's pumping gas and she's watching the gas thing go around, then she's got to feed her kids. And that's right. What Biden did. So it's not what he says. What does he do?
Yeah, exactly. The middle class is being completely wiped out. And even right now, people who have assets, which I think our audience tends to be pretty well off, they're very successful. A lot of them have owned their own businesses or have worked for 30 or 40 years and saved some money. And now they're very, very concerned about, first of all, the collapsing value of the dollar itself. The purchasing power is eroding much faster than the official government rates would admit. But also the failure of the banking system. And we saw Janet Yellen testify, you know, after the early failures this year, where she said, yeah, we'll selectively bail out certain banks beyond the 250K, but we're not going to tell you in advance which ones those are. So now everybody feels like they're playing bank roulette, you know, with their deposits. And my question to you, and I want to have a conversation a little bit about self-custody, but how foolish is it for people right now to trust that they're going to be bailed out as more bank failures cascade across the system?
Well, I think it's going to get worse, and that's the problem. I wrote a book. I don't know if I have it here. Here it is. This is the next shoe to drop here. It's called Who Stole My Pension? And I wrote it with Edward Sedell and myself. And it's only now making the news is that Wall Street, the bunch of criminals they are, they've robbed our pensions of the assets. So pretty soon you're going to hear of school teachers, firefighters, police officers, like CalPERS is the California Employee Pension Plan. It's broke.
Yes.
It's empty. So we haven't heard that news yet. And so my question is, when my generation, I'm 25 years older than you guys, when my generation finds out they have no money, that probably means they're going to print more money. Like, you know, like Ben Bernanke, Helicopter Ben said,
right.
We have a thing called the printing press. And when they print more money, inflation goes up again. Yeah. So why would you save money? Why would you invest in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds? Personally, I don't trust anything you can print. I want hard assets.
That's great.
We completely agree. And in fact, that's a great segue to the self-custody question. So here on this show, which is about decentralization, we believe, it's not a belief, we recognize the facts of gold, silver, and crypto. And crypto is an honest ledger, right? No one can artificially inflate the supply of Bitcoin. Gold and silver inherit intrinsic value that outlasts the fall of civilization throughout history. And also, you can't just create gold out of thin air. It takes a lot of effort and energy to get it. So I found that you are saying very similar advice to your audience about gold and silver and crypto. And yet I see sometimes gold people saying, we don't want crypto. And sometimes crypto people saying, we don't like gold. But you and us all agree that these asset classes have value. Why is that? Why have we all come to the same conclusion?
That's why I asked you, but you guys are off the grid. You know, crypto, I mean, Bitcoin especially is off the grid. And that's why I liked it, but it's blockchain technology, which has integrity, while the Fed, the Treasury, and Biden have no integrity. Wall Street has no integrity. So I want something you cannot print. And that's why I like gold, silver, Bitcoin. Simple.
And you recently had a prediction on Bitcoin, I believe, of, you know, like a price target for sometime next year. Are you still, is that number still something that makes sense to you? Or is that?
No, I think I was repeating somebody's quote.
Oh, okay. You know,
I don't like making predictions on price.
Yeah, right. Good.
Like
we don't either.
To my friends, it's not, you know, what's the price of a quarter? Well, I don't care what the price of a quarter is. How many quarters do you have?
Yeah.
And so, see, I'm so hardcore. This here is my gold mine. You know, it's in Utah, and its call sign is ODV on the New York Stock Exchange. And as we're working right now, the reason we found this gold mine was because due to digitalization, my partners in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, were looking at the records of the old miners back in the 1850s. And when they digitalized the old, you know, guys with the pick and shovels and the burros, when they digitalized the records of the miners, they said, oh my God, they missed the main vein.
Oh, wow.
So again, due to technology, we went down, found this thing. That green stuff is gold.
Wow.
That's gold.
Well, so you did mining of the records of the mining and then found a pattern of where there's more gold.
Yeah, so that's how technology is advancing our ability to see and do and get richer. Unfortunately, as you know, our schools teach us nothing about money.
That's right.
And that's the biggest problem of all.
Absolutely. Todd, you want to chime in with your next question?
Yeah, political question. I know we try to stay away from that, but you referenced Biden a couple of times. Do you have any insight, Robert, into who is truly Biden's puppet master? It must be someone or some group who absolutely hates America, right?
I tell you, you're asking the question of all questions. I just can't believe anybody would vote for him. Again, let me just say this much. I went to military school. I had congressional appointments at Naval Academy and Merchant Marine Academy. I took Merchant Marine Academy. And the motto at the Merchant Marine Academy in New York was acta non verba, deeds not words. And so as military officers, we're trained not to listen to the words, but watch what they do. So when the first act Biden did was cut off the Keystone XL pipeline, that's got to be those psychotic greenies, you know, ESV, what's that?
Yeah.
Environmental.
ESG score, yeah.
Yeah, so it's those psychotic greenies. I'm a greenie too. You know, I don't want this planet destroyed, but these guys take it too far.
Yeah.
And right now they're making it so hard. I drill for oil. I don't have oil stocks. Mm-hmm. They're making it so hard to drill for oil. The price of oil keeps going up, which makes the poor middle class poorer. Now I get richer, but that's not good because that leads to revolution. That's my concern.
Well, and this is a deliberate takedown of the energy infrastructure that drives economies and also feeds populations. So along with this, We're seeing a lot of shutdown of farms across Europe, for example. In the Netherlands, seizing over 3,000 farms. The price of meat skyrocketing across Europe. And a lot of that's tied to the climate agenda as well, saying that meat is bad. In Australia, they're talking about now permanently banning the installation of gas stoves in new home construction. So, and that's already the law in New York State, as you are probably well aware. So, you know, what kind of future do they want for us, where we're sitting in a mud hut with no electricity, no air conditioning, no hot water, and then we're supposed to say that we've finally reached equilibrium with the planet? Is that, and we're starving too on top of that? Is that the future they want for us?
I think so. I think they're, that guy who, Michael Schellenberger, who wrote San Francisco's San Francisco.
Yeah.
He called these environmentalists apocalyptic greenies.
That's
all
a good
they
term.
Do is they scare everybody. That was like, what's his name? Who was Clinton's vice president?
Al Gore.
They show the ice caps melting. They show the trees being deforested. And they say, well, we're going to all die. That's apocalyptic, you know, greenies.
Yeah.
And so, and then on the other side, they have the Black Lives Matter guys who are the equality psychos. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to push equality. That's why they're, you know, diversity, inclusion, equality spells die. Of course, they don't put it that way. They put diversion, equality, inclusion. But we're dying. I mean, these school teachers, I taught at Arizona State last year. And 39 professors shut me down.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, most school teachers, like my poor dad, are Marxists. They just don't know it. You know, the problem is they never read this book here.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. See this?
And then, so in 1965, when I left Hawaii to go to school in New York at the academy, my economics teacher had me read this book here. And I said, why are you reading this book? And my economics teacher, who was a West Point graduate, said, know thy enemy.
Yeah.
And that enemy are our school teachers.
That's funny. When I was in college, I had an economics professor named Ishizawa. And he did much the same thing. And he had us build an economic simulation on the early PCs, the early IBM PC, wrote an economic simulator to demonstrate what he was talking about. But today, people lack basic financial literacy. So, for example, and I know you've talked about this on your show, I've heard you talk about it, but the average American, and it's not just Americans, it's Europeans, it's Canadians, and so on, they don't understand compounding interest, number one, or compounding anything.
How about compounding inflation?
Exactly.
Right.
So they don't know that if you're losing, let's say, 1% a month in purchasing power of your dollar, you know, where that's going to be, you know, rule of 72 and all that, where that's going to be. It doesn't take long to lose half the power in the dollar. And I've seen people who live in a house for 40 years, sell the house and think they made a fortune on it, but the money is worth a fraction of what they originally paid for the house in the first place. They didn't gain anything.
Well, the reason is our schools don't have students read this book here. Hmm. You see, the other thing that they don't tell you is it's called indoctrination. It's not education. And so when I talk to people, I was just at the gym and I was trying to tell my gym instructor, he's only about 20 years old. I said, buy silver. No, he'd rather save this stuff. That's right. How stupid he is.
I said, and I think you have a
this, and this will hold its value. No, I'm going to save dollars. He sounds like my whole family.
You right. should and, tell and him that, you're going to pay him in silver. Yeah.
And don't you say, Robert, that saving dollars is a sport for losers? I think I've heard you say that.
Well, this is toilet paper. Just think of it as toilet paper.
Yeah.
Someday it'll be worth less than toilet paper. And the toilet paper gives you more space. But anyway.
And from what you said, too, about where you invest your funds, because you've earned off of your books, you've worked hard, you've earned assets, and you put them into, you know, oil exploration, you put them into gold mining. You are putting money in places where it produces value for society. And it's not just speculation on derivatives or financial instruments or abstractions. It's It's you know, something that's real. And even I would even count Bitcoin in that category. It's real because it's driven by algorithms and built into algorithmic scarcity that no one, you know, can fudge or fake or counterfeit. So I just want to say, you know, thank you for setting an example for the American people.
Thank you.
More people need to put money in things that matter so that we have a future.
Well, let me step back one more time, because number one, I don't save money. I save this silver, and this is gold. I save gold. I don't save this, but I also use debt to invest. And, you know, guys like Dave Ramsey also live debt-free. I'm $1.2 billion in debt because, as I said earlier, in 1971, Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard and the dollar became debt. Yet people are so indoctrinated into working for this and saving this and investing this for more paper. That makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But explain more about leveraging debt to gain real assets, because you're a master of that. You've done that your whole career.
Right. Well, I always recommend you study, because when any frickin' idiot can buy an Apple share. You just call your stockbroker up and you say, let's say it's $100. I'll give you $100 to get a share of Apple. Now, if you make a mistake, you can liquefy it that fast. But you buy a piece of real estate for $100,000, you make a mistake, you're not going to write that baby down. So my friend Ken McElroy wrote 3 books on this, my partner. He calls it the ABCs of real estate, the ABCs of property management, because it's a management issue. And number 3 is the advanced guide to real estate. And what happens for me is, let's say I buy a property for $1 million. I put up, let's say, 20%, $200,000. I have $800,000 in debt. I increase the income on the property, the NOI, net operating income. And then the two, let's say, I can't remember anymore, but let's say I have $1 million into the property. I borrow out the $2 million, so the property now is 100% debt, and the company is still throwing cash flow. That's what my game teaches, is cash flow. So that when you have cash flow from nothing, the return is infinite. You made money out of nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what financial education is.
Can you walk us through, since you do have that cash flow board behind you, and this is based on the principles that you teach, can you kind of walk us through what that's about, the diagram there?
Sure. When I was 9 years old, my rich dad started teaching. My deal with my rich dad, who's my best friend's father in Hawaii, I had to work for him for free, and he would teach me how to be an entrepreneur and an investor. So after I worked for free, picking up rubbish and a paper or painting things and doing all this, he had hotels and he owned restaurants. He would teach me about investing playing Monopoly. So that's what I did. I just played Monopoly. And today I play Monopoly in real life. And we all know the formula: 4 green houses, 1031 tax-free exchange into a red hotel. So the board game here is the middle, that's called the rat race. And the rat race is where you go to school for. So you learn to just work hard and spin and save money, invest in the stock market. But to get onto the fast track, and in the real world of finance, there is a fast track. Those people are called accredited investors. And I forget the thing now, you have to may have $1 million in assets and earn like $300,000 a year or something. But the average person, the mom and pop, PhDs, go to college, can't get out of the rat race. So they never make it to the fast track. It's where the investments are, which is where the real deals are made. So I showed you my gold mine and all that. Those are fast track deals. So I don't buy shares of stock. I buy the gold mine. And that's what capitalists do.
Yes.
Marxists don't know how to do that. That's why college professors, for the most part, they work for tenure. And you're in Austin, Texas, where the University of Texas is.
There's a Marxist institution right there, UT.
And they all work tenure. Tenure means they can't get fired.
Yeah.
So they work for security. This is the difference. Marxists work for security. Capitalists work for freedom.
Exactly. Okay. Well said. So in terms of then people needing to save their assets from the collapsing dollar. What can you tell us? I know you've had like our mutual friend Andy Schechtman on many times, and he's fantastic, well-informed about BRICS and so on. What are your views on the global de-dollarization? The BRICS nations, you know, coming up here later this month are supposed to make some kind of announcement about perhaps a blockchain-backed transactional currency among themselves. What do you think this means for the dollar or the de-dollarization acceleration?
Well, I think in Johannesburg, South Africa, on August 22nd this year, the BRICS nations are getting together. I think originally there was five BRICS nations: Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And then what happened is Saudi Arabia joined them. So it became BRICSS. When Saudi Arabia joined them, that was the death of the dollar.
Yep.
Okay. And then now I think there's 41 countries, according to Andy Schechtman, who's a genius. 41 countries are now going to join the BRICS. And that means the US dollar is finished because the world doesn't have to use the dollars. Let me explain one more thing, is that in 1944, this became the reserve currency of the world. And what that meant was it was as good as gold here. And the US then, because we had won World War II, all central banks had to store this. So they had to store this in their vaults. So Andy thinks there's probably a quadrillion dollars sitting in these vaults of like the Bank of Japan, Bank of Mexico, Bank of England, and all this. So then Jim Rickard says it's not if, it's when. When the crypto yuan, gold-backed yuan comes in, or whatever, they call it the BRICS coin, comes in, trillions, maybe quadrillions of dollars will come floating back to the United States because it's no longer money. And so what Andy Schechtman is saying is that that's going to cause hyperinflation. And most of us have heard the story of during the Weimar Republic back before 1930, before Hitler came to power. There's a story of a woman who had a wheelbarrow full of Reichsmark in Germany, and she went up to the store to buy a loaf of bread. And she went out to got the bread, and when she came out, they stole her wheelbarrow, left the cash on the ground. So that is possible. I hope I'm wrong. But Andy and I think that's a possibility, and so does Jim Rickards, who's a very smart guy.
Yeah. No one can ever accuse Jim Rickards of being a low IQ individual. He was, by the way, one of the people who negotiated the bailout, the first too big to fail bailout of long-term capital management, I believe, in 1998. Right. And I think the CIA has even used James Rickards for his analysis of, money algorithms used by terrorism and so on. But Todd, we've been talking a lot. I know you got another question or comment. You want to chime in?
Well, was it the silly, crazy, nutty, stupid green agenda that pushed Saudi Arabia away from the U.S., Robert?
That was one of them. But also, when Biden pulled us out of Afghanistan, that was another straw. And also what happened when that happened, the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, made gold a tier one asset.
That's right.
So up until that time, the dollar was a petrodollar. So in 1974, Nixon threw the dollar off the gold standard, and then 1974 it was backed by oil, the petrodollar. So when Biden pulled us out of Afghanistan, the dollar became worthless. It wasn't worth oil anymore. So Saudi Arabia says, so why are we back in the U.S.? Another thing I'm going to say that gets me in a lot of trouble, and I'm not racist or xenophobic, whatever it is. If you notice that most of the countries that are hanging together are Christian. I was raised a Christian. So you have Saudi Arabia, Canada, I mean, not Saudi Arabia, but Canada, America, England, Australia, New Zealand. But Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, they're Muslim. Mm-hmm. Korea and all that, they're Buddhists. So not only is it race, religion, and money, is we're different religions. And I think this is going to be the biggest change in world history. And that's August 22nd this year, in a few weeks.
And I think that the future for the American people is one that's going to surprise them, because they will find themselves living in deep impoverishment virtually overnight. Even if they have dollars in the bank, or they think they have a pension, or they think they have Social Security, yeah, you may still get the check, but it's not going to be able to buy much of anything. But couldn't that happen, you know, pretty rapidly?
Just like I said, when I wrote this book here, if you have friends or family who are expecting a pension, there's firefighters, school teachers, police officers, I'd have them buy this book, Who Stole My Pension? Because it was Wall Street, the criminals on Wall Street, that loaded those pensions up with junk, trash.
That's right.
And that's what my friend Ed Sedell, my co-author here, he's the biggest whistleblower in America. He's making fortunes blowing the whistle on Wall Street.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So look, to the audience here, let me just say, Robert Kiyosaki's information can help you make decisions to save your assets. And that's no exaggeration. First of all, go to his website, richdad.com. And you can also find his broadcasts, you know, on YouTube and other platforms as well. And he's got great guests like Andy Shackman and others. And he brings you good information. And I we come to a lot of the same conclusions, too, about assets and taking self-custody over assets. And in fact, one of my last questions for you, Robert, is, you know how in Bitcoin, if you take custody in your own wallet, it's your money. It's no one else has to, you don't have to get permission from someone else to move it or to use it. Same thing with gold and silver in your hand, right? That's your money, it's yours. Whereas a lot of people think, oh, if I just keep my money in these brokerage accounts or banks or treasuries, well, then someone's gonna bail me out. But you always need permission from those authorities to access your money, don't you? And that permission can be taken away.
Correct. I mean, this here is my money. This here is the bank's money. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have this here. There's one more thing. You know, I tell people constantly, I would start moving your money out of your banks, because the rumor is there's going to be a bail-in.
Right.
And a bail-in, which is another level of insanity. I hope it doesn't come. But they did this the last in 2008. They did it to the Bank of Cyprus. So let's say you have that's happened when Silvergate Bank was on Signature Bank and Silver Rock, these banks.
Silicon Valley Bank, SVB.
Valley Bank. Is what happens, the shareholders, if you have $1 million in the bank, you just bail in. You just bought $1 million of Silicon Valley Bank shares.
Right.
So, I mean, we haven't seen insanity yet. I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But I would keep money out of the bank. I wouldn't tell anybody where you keep it. I buy a safe someplace and all this. My friend and I were on the stage, and he said, we're in Nevada. And he says, I keep all my gold and silver at home. I said, well, you just invited everybody to come. So I'd get a nice safe. And Andy Shekman has gold storage in safe places. I store my gold and silver in Switzerland. So I don't trust my government. It's that simple. I went twice to Vietnam. Like I said, I flew this thing over there. I know what communism is. I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah. I've killed a lot of communists, and I should have come home, because, you know, as soon as I got home from Vietnam in 1973, the school teacher started spitting on me. The hippies started spitting on me. Yeah, I'm a U.S. Marine. I just come back.
Unbelievable.
I brought 16 of my men home, and these hippies, these loving characters, spit on me, hit me with eggs. Can you imagine that?
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
We honor your service, of course. We thank you for your service. But I just honestly, I think your service to America since past your military service has been even far more impactful, right? Reaching a much larger number of people and helping people in so many ways. And as we're about to wrap this up, let me ask Todd final comments, and then back to Robert for any sort of, you know, closing statements, what you want to leave our audience with. But Todd, go ahead.
Yeah, I would want mine a little bit of mind share. I assert that CBDCs, Robert, are simply legacy banking services disguised as crypto. and but much more nefarious due to their programmability. So my question is, what are the Fed and the banking cabal planning next? What's their end game in enforcing CBDCs on us, sir?
I think it's Marxism. I think it's this. You see, a central bank is Marx. And when in 1913, when the Fed was formed, we was the first up in becoming Marxist. As this book here says, this was 1848, and they predicted that communism would take over America in two stages. The first stage was in 1930, when Columbia University, those commies over there in New York, went to Frankfurt, Germany, to bring in communist teachers to teach at Columbia University's Teachers College. So that was in 1930. And by the 60s, when I was in school in New York, riots were breaking out all over these campuses. You guys are too young to remember, but there was a thing called Kent State, you know, four dead in Ohio.
Right.
There was rioting at Berkeley. So those school teachers spread communism. That's why there's no financial education in our schools.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well said. And as we're about to wrap this up, Robert, I mean, this is we've already covered an amazing number of topics with you here today. But is there anything else you want to share with our audience about resources or things that they should be looking at or paying attention to?
Well, the reason I created the cash flow game, again, is because, as Maria Montessori said, what the hand does, the mind remembers. And so my final words are this here, the space between this here and this here lies your brain. And your brain is either your greatest asset or your greatest liability. So if you're saving money, clinging to job security, put your money in the stock market, you know, the 60-40, 60% equities, 10% bonds. This is now a liability to you.
Right.
You use the game to transform this into an asset for you and become an entrepreneur and buy gold and silver, not paper.
Yeah, well said. If everybody in America followed your advice, we would actually make it through whatever financial disaster is being engineered and thrust upon us. So it's great, well, great. Yes.
But that's a good point, you see, because by 1930, my 2030, which is not that far away, there's going to be more opportunity than ever before if you're not wiped out.
That's right.
So, right. I mean, I live in a very affluent neighborhood, and the shopping center next to my home is empty. All these high-end shops are empty. And that's how bad this financial crisis is spreading. It's now hitting the rich and the affluent.
Right.
And then one more fact was that, because I'm a real estate guy, this one guy says there's the equivalent to 35 Empire State Buildings empty.
Wow.
Because of Zoom, because of COVID, they're empty. And that means all these REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust, and pensions are going to accelerate in the crash. So if it's going to crash, I'd get rid of toilet paper. And exactly as you guys said, get off the grid and go back to real money.
Yeah.
This is real money. Yeah, we've already seen some of the REITs, the REITs, limiting withdrawals because they just don't have the liquidity. Who's buying commercial real estate right now? And even when it's selling at a 60% discount in some cities. Right. So, all right. Well, we want to be mindful of your time, Mr. Kiyosaki, and just both Todd and I thank you and we honor you.
Thank you.
For your service to this country and to the people of America and the world in helping them sort out their financial future. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. As all Marines say, semper fi.
Semper fi.
Semper fi. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. Take care. All right, folks. Robert Kiyosaki, again, richdad.com is the website. You know his books. You probably read them or listened to them as audiobooks. And I just want to say that is an extraordinary man. And
really?
Isn't he impressive, Todd?
Yeah.
I mean, he holds to his convictions. He's uncensored. He's not afraid to tell the truth the way it is.
Yeah.
And his advice is going to help a lot of people survive what's coming. But those who fail to listen to Kiyosaki are going to find themselves in a world of hurt, I believe. All right.
All right.
Thank you, Todd. have a great rest of your evening, and thank all of you for watching today. Again, it's been a great show, decentralized.tv, and watch for more episodes on the website. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Thank you for watching today. Take care, everybody.
Cheers.
All right. Mm-hmm.